Thank you. Hi, hello, yes, welcome to Relevant Tones. I am your host today, Austin Williams. We are going to be focusing on the music of Taylor Brooke and performed by Dana Jessen. And really, it's we're focusing on the collaboration between the two of them. You heard me last do an episode about the Splice Festival. That is where I met Dana Jessen. She was an incredible mentor while I was there, part of the creative music ensemble, largely having to do with improvisation and what that means, and really explored that. And that's honestly what a lot of this album that Dana and Taylor worked on together. And I just thoroughly enjoyed seeing the collaboration, or more hearing the pieces and then piecing together the collaborative nature of the two pieces through conversation with both of them. We started with the song, or the piece, I guess, called Song 2 on this album called Set, which is also a large reason why we're doing this. It is the album release of this album between the two of them. But Song 2 is one of many songs on this album, and each song is then followed by an improvisation. And my understanding is that Taylor is using, he has a more or less kind of through composed idea with this music software that he's programmed, and then he also allowed Dana to kind of go off and improvise using that same software. And the different musical ideas are amazing, but also seeing the through lines and kind of where they both meet and agree on certain things is also really fascinating to me. So before I ramble on too much, as I do sometimes, let's jump into the interview, and we'll hear Dana and Taylor speak more about this project. All right, so I'm here with Dana Jessen and Taylor Brooke. Dana is a lovely bassoon player, and Taylor is a composer. And I had the lovely happenstance fortune of running into Dana at Splice Festival earlier this summer, and I heard that she was coming out with an album, and I wanted to promote it and review it on here, or not so much review it, but just have them come on here and chat. So welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks so much for having us.
Of course. So I know quite a bit about Dana, I know quite a bit about your background and, you know, just by working with you. But Taylor, I was hoping you can maybe tell us just like a little bit more about like yourself as a composer and even as a musician all that good stuff.
Sure. Yeah, I'd be happy to. So yeah, my name's Taylor Brooke. I'm a composer. I am someone who also develops software tools for making music. And I grew up in Canada, did my studies in the States in New York, and have been sort of freelance for the past few years. I do a pretty wide range of things musically, I'd say. Though a strong part of it, which this Set album is mixed music. So, acoustic instrument processed with live electronics. And actually this piece kind of was early in the stages of my growing interest in computer improvisation. So software that improvises, generates music in real time with a human improviser in reaction to a human improviser. So that's been one of my focuses recently, and this Set piece is sort of like a very basic baby form of the computer improviser that that I've been working on since then. That's a little bit about me.
Totally. So I couldn't help but notice. So the name of the album is Set. Is it Set Music? I think it's just Set, right? Yeah. Set. And you keep referring to it as Set Piece. Do you yourself kind of see the whole album as one contiguous thing, or?
I use this word piece reflexively, but in fact, it's a set of pieces. It was written to be performed together as a set, but I was kind of thinking of it as an improviser or a band or whomever gets up and does a set of songs. And so it is thoughtfully arranged in terms of like what song and then comes after which.
Mm-hmm.
But at least when I was writing it, I was thinking of it as you have these separate songs. And so these are the sort of the subtitles of within set. You have song and then improvisation and then a song and then an improvisation, the song and improvisation, the song. That's the whole structure.
Yeah. I'll kind of flip that question back onto you, Dana, as the performer. Did that influence, you know, your approach to the different pieces, or I guess tracks, movements, whatever we want to call them, throughout the album?
A bit. So what I think one of the things that Taylor didn't mention is that, and correct me if I'm wrong, Taylor, but it seemed to be the intention also that one could take different iterations of this set of pieces, or, you know, quote unquote pieces of music that you could then perform in different iterations. So for instance, you could at one performance just do all three songs, or in one performance only do an improvisation and like song three, for instance, so that they don't necessarily have to always be performed in the way that the album is presented. Mm. And I kind of like how, you know, that that creates a different kind of piece in a way, that the piece itself lives in all these different modes and lives in all these different models. And in terms of my approach to it, though, I still, if I'm being completely honest, I still kind of approached it as a longer sort of continuous thing. And I think maybe the next livelihood of the piece for me, at least, is how I can create versions of it in these different iterations.
Yeah, I definitely noticed, and I admittedly only had time to listen through it one time, but I noticed a through line throughout all the different pieces and movements, even if it was like, you know, going from like song one to song three or the improvisations in between, they seem to kind of flow one into the next in a really nice way. And so I inferred through that there was this kind of ability to mold it as you wanted to as the performer. Taylor, is that kind of, I mean, probably your intention, but is that the idea behind these computer improvisations or the software that you're developing with it?
Yeah. Well, in terms of the form and sort of the modularity of it.
Yeah.
Between each song is improvisation.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's kind of the performer, or i.e. Dana's responsibility to connect one song to the next. And yeah. So that, I think that allows for kind of, if you desire it, a smooth connection between, you know, any two parts, right? So you could play improvisation two going to song one and that be everything. And because we know how song one goes, that the improvisation could sort of lead into that in some way.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the computer improvisation, it's really just the first improvisation. So there's an intro, then song one, then a first improvisation.
Mm-hmm.
And that first improvisation uses, I mean, it's hard to really say it's full computer improvisation, but there's a lot of sampling that happens from the introduction of the piece,
mm-hmm.
Especially this long G that's held,
mm-hmm.
and that it's sampled interactively with Dana's real-time performance.
Sure.
And there's sort of a level of randomization and interactivity that makes it feel a bit like computer improvisation, but it's a pretty, you know, it's sort of like one... you know, I often think of computer improvisation as a computer sort of moving through different behaviors a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So the behavior might be to complement what it hears, or it might be to try to match what it hears. And so this this first improvisation, it's really just three simple behaviors, and it goes always from the first to the second to the third behavior.
Okay.
And that's the whole thing.
Thank you. I noticed that there's a good variety of like space that you're offering the performer throughout the different improvisations or even the songs. Is that, deliberate, or is that a product of the software that is working with it? And maybe, Danny, you can speak on like your relation, how you built this relationship with the different programs that Taylor developed.
In terms of leaving a lot of space for improvisation, this was something that Dana and I planned from the beginning.
Yeah.
I mean, the piece really has a lot of Dana as an improviser in it. So very early on, we did some short workshops where I learned a lot about bassoon technique and about like some of the particular, I don't know what you want to call them, techniques, tricks, neat sounds that Dana can produce with her bassoon. And so I integrated a lot of those into the piece. And also, just in general, especially when writing a solo piece for like an individual, I really like the kind of collaborative approach to it. And so, you know, we didn't totally dissolve the composer versus performer dichotomy when making this piece, but there's a lot of blurred lines there. And I think, I would think Dana feels the same way, where there's a lot of her musicality in the score, you know, not just the performance, but that's actually sort of written into the piece. And then of course the improvisation sections, they're just framework. They're sort of like launching pads for her to improvise.
Sure.
And so those are very much co-authored.
For sure.
Yeah.
Dana, what do you got?
Yeah. I agree. I think that it was, I think I was trying to remember Taylor when we had actually started working on this piece together. And I think it was in like 2017 or 18, maybe. Something
sounds
like that.
Sounds about right. I would have guessed 2018, 2019, okay. But I'm not sure.
But I remember having a couple awesome phone conversations, and I didn't know Taylor before asking about this piece, you know, asking about commissioning him and working with him. And I, you know, we had a lot of friends and colleagues in common, and I knew of his music particularly. I was really drawn not only to his electroacoustic music, but his use of microtonality in his compositions, which I thought was really interesting. Often what I do when I'm working with composers is just getting together and improvising and playing because so much of my musical language comes from the improvisation world, and my identity as an improviser. So it's really special to see some of those sound worlds come, you know, appear in a score and appear in the patch or the electronics, which, you know, that you know, to me, that is a really special relationship, and something that you can actually hear that part of the collaboration in the piece, right? So that was really lovely. And in terms of the, I wanted to kind of go back to talking about the improvisation sections. And it was really, you know, improvising with electronics is exactly the same as improvising with an acoustic musician, right? You learn about them, you learn how to play with them, you listen and react. In this case, it was a little bit, I would say, if I were an ensemble setting, I would probably have played much less than I was doing in this, right? So I was maybe putting in a lot more than I would if I was playing just a duo with another human. And each of the improvisation sections, though, have a very distinct sound and a very distinct way of interaction. And so the first one, for instance, as Taylor mentioned, had taken some recordings from the opening introduction section of this G, and it was, you know, relaying some of the things that I was playing in a sort of delayed fashion that I could not predict all the time. And so it was kind of interesting to interact in that way. Mm-hmm. The second improvisation was the synthesizer one, which was super fun for me because there were moments where the synthesizer had a little bit of like a delay on it. And it was really fun to try like playing things like super fast and see if I could, you know, catch the tail end of the synthesizer in those ways. So that had a sort of playful element in my mind. Yeah. And then the third improvisation, which is, you know, this sort of finality dystopian moment, was really, I think, maybe my favorite one, because it had all these sort of pre-recorded chords that I didn't know, you know, it was, they were sort of shifting the harmonic material underneath me at moments that I didn't know. And so it kind of has almost this sort of, you know, I was leaning into the sort of 70s jazz kind of feel in that one. And so that one was really fun. And I would say, especially for people who know me as an improviser, I think my improvisations in this piece are much more pitch-based than I normally play. And that was fun for me. That was partly because I was intentionally trying to create more of a through line between the material of the song sections before and after, and also just to kind of push a different side of my improvisation that I don't normally show. So that was, I felt like Taylor's electronics in these improvisation sections were really a great facility for me to do that.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I kind of want to go back to something you mentioned earlier. Like, this is the way you approach these improvisations are maybe a little different than how you would if you were in an ensemble. And I'm wondering if you might agree with me when I say, like, I feel like when it might feel like you're improvising by yourself, but you're not. You're interacting with this element. Does it give you a bit more agency for like virtuosic moments, or do you feel a bit more empowered to do things in that nature?
Well, for sure, I'm definitely playing with a lot of virtuosity in those moments, like probably more so than I would if I was in an ensemble, unless there was like the right moment where everyone was sort of taking virtuosic moments. Mm-hmm. But it would be a different kind of virtuosic playing, I'd say, than if I was just doing solo acoustic.
Sure.
Right. Just because it does have this added, you know, the electronics are altering what I'm, you know, the way that I'm thinking and what the processing is. Right. So it's definitely altering, all of the things that I'm creating. And I have to like be quick to react to those things or make decisions, in a different sense than I would if I were reacting within a sort of acoustic ensemble.
Yeah, for sure. Taylor, you said that you were able to get together with Dana and kind of figure out some sounds that you wanted to work with. And then did that influence, the type of programs or the way they would interact with Dana based on the sounds that you worked with on her?
It's funny. I would say that the meetings with Dana influenced the through composed songs very much in terms of the techniques that are used throughout, but the improvisations were more they probably did, but it kind of in a second order way where I was thinking of things to throw at her that would make for interesting interactions for her to improvise with. The meetings were actually much more had much more of an influence on the written material than the improvised stuff.
Sure.
Thank you.
This has been a long project from what it sounds like, kind of going back to 2017, you said?
I think
yeah,
so.
Like that.
Yeah. Well, and it was, you know, you mentioned Splice at the beginning, and we premiered the piece at the Splice Festival in February 2020, right before the world shut down for lockdown. I think it was.
Yeah, just a couple weeks before.
Oh, good.
That's right. Yeah. So, yeah. Like, the world premiere happened at the Splice Festival, and only this year, the Splice Festival has been on pause since then, and this coming November, they'll be back up and running in Boston. So it's kind of crazy that somehow set is the premiere happened at the last one, and the album comes out right before the next one. So
yeah, no, that's really long. So has the project kind of changed, or is it maybe giving you more time to think about what you wanted it to be during this, you know, longer period of time?
Well, the piece was kind of finished, I'd say, by the time we brought it to performance. There was some question of, you know, certain cuts and revisions, but sort of like the usual stuff. No major changes. And then it was, you know, in a way, it was sort of nice to have a bit of time between this first performance at Splice Festival and then the recording session that happened last year.
Okay.
Because my sense was that the piece had sort of sunk in and was which is really good for a recording session, of course. And so I feel like this is, you know, it's a piece that's very modular. It can be performed in very different ways.
Yeah.
But I think that this album that we have coming out in a few days, is the recording represents like a really almost ideal form of it.
Sure.
Which I'm really happy about. So I'm not sure if COVID helped that or hurt it, but it all sort of worked out just with a very long time frame.
Totally. And you know, you brought up an interesting point that this album, as you know, there's, you know, it's almost equal parts through composed and equal parts improvisation, where, you know, it's almost, for the improvised parts at least, it's like the snapshot of what could be, you know, the improvised aspects of it. But like everything in that nature, it's going to be different if you go hear it live. Is there plans to have it performed live in the nearish future, or
if you know of people who would like to book it,
yeah,
we will definitely perform it.
We are looking for opportunities.
Okay. Yeah, for sure. That's, I mean,
yeah, we don't have anything in the books right now, but it's definitely something that I personally would love to go perform it, you know, more often. So, yeah.
That's great. Excellent. It's been great having you guys. Is there anything else we really didn't touch on?
Just the kind of logistics, which that it comes out this Friday, July 28th,
sure.
Through New Focus Recordings. It's a digital only release. Mm-hmm. So you can find it on New Focus website or on Bandcamp. And yeah, check it out.
Okay. Well, thank you guys so much for being here.
Thanks.
Yeah. Thank you.
All right. Yes. Go check out this new album of Dana Jessen and Taylor Brook called Set. It is available on Bandcamp or streaming platforms. If you Google either their names followed by Set, it'll pop right up. So easy peasy like that. I also really encourage you to listen to it all the way through. I think that's truly like the best experience with the album. It's only, I want to say, like, it's a little under 45 minutes. So if you have like a long car ride or something, you could looking for something interesting to listen to, definitely worth a listen. But you start to really see that through line between the improvisations and the songs, and even between different songs and different improvisations, and how they really connected into a full piece. So as always, Relevant Tones is a product of Access Contemporary Music. Find out more at acmusic.org, and we will catch you next time. Thanks, guys.